ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the great Sigmund Romberg operetta, The Desert Song, starring Gordon McRae and his charming guest, Mimi Benzel. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another great musical success is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we bring you one of the great romantic operettas of all time, The Desert Song. As Margot Bonvalet, you will hear lovely Mimi Benzel. And I shall don the mask and flowing red cape of that mysterious romantic figure, the Red Shadow.
Only as a desert breeze, I may wander where I please, yet I keep on longing.
I remember the first time I saw the Red Shadow. I had come to Morocco as the guest of Governor Birabeau and his family. One day I was standing alone outside the fortress when suddenly a band of riffs came galloping over the hill. Their leader wore a long red cloak and a mask, and no one who saw him ride by, singing as he rode, could ever forget him.
Over the ground, there comes a sound. It is the drum, drum, drum of hoofbeats in the sand. Quiver with fear, if you are near. It is the thunder of the Shadow and his band. And all who wander learn to understand. Best be hiding low. It means that riffs are abroad. Go before you've bitten the sword. Oh, that's the sound that comes to warn you so. In the night or early morn, you know. If you're the Red Shadow's foe, the riffs will strike with a blow that brings you woe.
Oh, so we sing as we are riding home. Time you'd best be hiding low. It means the rents are abroad. Go before you've written the sword.
Oh, that's the sound that comes to warn you so. Oh, in the night or early morn, you know. You know. If you're the Red Shadow's foe, the wrist will strike with a blow that brings you home.
Watching the Red Shadow and his band disappear over the hill, thinking to myself that here was the most romantic figure I had ever seen. Long after dark had settled on the desert, I still stood there, dreaming, until Governor Birabeau and his son Pierre came out to find me.
Margot, my dear, Pierre and I have been looking everywhere for you. You must never come outside the fortress alone.
No, it isn't safe.
Oh, I'm sorry I worried you. Where were you this afternoon, Pierre?
Oh, I was out hunting for wildflowers.
Ah, wildflowers. What sort of a son am I raising? Come, Margo, let's go back inside the gates.
Very well. Oh, Governor, I think Morocco is so exciting and full of adventure. It must be the most romantic place in the world.
Margo, I'm afraid your head's entirely too full of romance.
You're right. It is.
Romance, a playboy that is born each spring to teach a nightingale to sing a very pretty song. I love you. Romance, a legend of an old brocade, a prince who tells a country maid, I love you.
Governor, my head is too full of romance.
Well, one warning, Margot. Stay in your room. The Red Shadow is rumored to be somewhere within the ground.
The Red Shadow. Oh, how romantic he sounds. I think I should welcome him.
Oh, no, my child. Now go to your room.
Oh, very well.
Good evening, mademoiselle.
You're the Red Shadow.
Your servant. I heard you say you would welcome me.
You heard me? Where were you?
In the shadows. Come with me, tonight, into the desert. Come with me and you'll never want to return.
You're very sure of yourself.
Not of myself. But who can resist the magic of the desert?
My desert is waiting. Dear, come there with me. I'm longing to teach you love's sweet melody. I'll sing a dream song. Painting a picture or two. And you and I, and sand kissing a moonlit sky, a desert breeze whispering a lullaby, only stars above you to see I love. That night divine, and let my arms in yours entwine, the desert song calling its voice and calling will make you.
Master, the horses are waiting just outside the gates as you ordered.
Will you come with me, Margot?
You know my name.
I know your name, your dreams, and even perhaps your future. Come with me.
Oh, it's impossible.
If you won't come of your own free will, then I shall have to pick you up and carry you off.
Let me alone. Go!
All right. I've got her. Come on, Hasse.
Yes, Master, here. Through this window.
Shh, quiet now. Quiet. We don't want anyone to hear us.
Through heaven and you and I, and sand kissing a moonlit sky, a desert breeze whispering a lullaby.
Let me go. Do you think you can steal a guest from the governor's palace?
I love you. Give me this night divine.
I'll come after you tomorrow and kill you.
Let them.
The desert song calling its voice and calling will make you.
Return for the second act of the Desert Song in just a moment. Because every one of us has a stake in the maintenance of a sound and strong railroad system in the United States, a system adequate to the needs of commerce and the demands of defense, you will be interested in the progress of hearings that are going on in Washington now. Early in 1951, the railroads asked for increased freight rates to help meet the rise in costs since 1949. When the last increase was authorized. Part of the request of the railroads was granted last year, and the railroads are now asking that the remainder of the increase requested be authorized. The reason is simply this, that even though the railroads last year handled the second highest peacetime volume of freight traffic ever recorded, and did it with record efficiency, their necessary costs of operation have gone up much faster and much farther than freight rates. The result is that earnings are inadequate to enable the railroads to meet current needs and to carry on the program of expansion and improvement necessary to meet the needs of the future. It figures out this way. Since 1949, railroad wages and the prices of fuel and materials and taxes have gone up so much that they have added $1,166 million to annual operating costs. But the increases in freight rates authorized since that time will produce only $564 million in additional annual revenue. Thus, what the railroads must pay out has risen by more than $500 million a year over what they are able to take in. It is essential to the commerce of the nation and to its defense that the program of railroad expansion and improvement be carried forward. On the basis of present low earnings, the railroads cannot continue to secure the money it takes to do this. To make earnings to sustain the credit, which the railroads must have to keep on with their vital program of building to meet transportation demands, freight rates must be based on current costs and adjusted to conditions. That's why the railroads have had to seek authority from the Interstate Commerce Commission for the remainder of the freight rate increase asked for in 1951. And now here is the second act of the Desert Song, starring Gordon MacRae as the Red Shadow and his guest Mimi Benzel as Margot, with Francis X. Bushman as Governor Birabeau.
All night we rode across the desert. Just at dawn, we arrived in front of a great castle. The Red Shadow bowed to the man who came across the sands to welcome us.
Once more, Exalted Ali, I beg your kindness and shelter.
Should I not protect the protector of my tribe? What did you do this time, hmm? Burn down a prison? Kidnap a tax collector? Blow up a dam so the farmers could have water?
No, it's a little different this time, Ali. I have captured a French woman.
A French woman? You brought her forcibly against her will?
Yes, from the quarters of Governor Birabeau, where I am a guest.
You have put us all in danger by bringing this woman here, my friend. I beg you, send her back.
I've risked my life for you many times, and this is the first time I've asked anything in return, Ali. I will not send this woman back. I'm going to win her for my own.
Lonely as a desert breeze, I may wander where I please, yet I keep on longing just to rest a while, where a sweetheart's tender eyes take the place of sand and the skies, all the world forgot. One woman's heart, one alone to be my own, I alone to know her caresses, one to be eternally. My worshipping soul possesses, but a call I give my all my life and all my love enduring. This would be magic world to me if she were mine alone.
I was taken to a private apartment in Ali's palace. Slave girls dressed me in rich oriental attire. Then they led me to an outer room where the Red Shadow was waiting.
Margot.
Why did you bring me here?
To teach you to love me.
You're a bandit, an outlaw, an enemy of my people.
Margot, when I came to Morocco 8 years ago, the French governor was abusing the Arabs. I could not reason with him. So I put on this red mask and cloak and rode into the hills to the palace of Ali Ben Ali. I said to him, give me 20 men who aren't afraid to risk their lives. And when the law is wrong, we will overturn the law.
Are you speaking of Governor Birabeau?
No, the former governor, General Fontaine.
But Governor Birabeau came here for one purpose, to destroy the Red Shadow.
I am willing to risk my life, to win your love.
That is impossible, monsieur. I am already in love with the governor's son, Pierre.
Pierre? That weakling, that picker of flowers? All right. I'll send Pierre to you.
Have you captured him, too?
Oh, he's here. And if Pierre can win you, why, then I swear by all I hold sacred to send you back his bride.
No. No. Wait. Let me think.
Margot, you do love me. You must.
Blue heaven and you and I and sand kissing a moonlit sky, a desert breeze whispering a lullaby, only stars above you to see I love you.
Mirabeau.
Oh, thank heaven I've found you. Are you all right?
Yes. Yes, I am, Governor.
Miss the Red Shadow. In my younger days, I was a good swordsman. The men have told me that if I can defeat you in single combat, then you will release Margot Bonvalet. Well, sir, I'm going to kill you, or you'll have to kill me.
Oh, Governor Mirabeau, please don't do this.
Step aside, Margot. Draw your sword, sir.
Red Shadow, aren't you going to fight? You must fight.
I surrender my sword.
Well, it seems I've won an easy victory, but I can't call it a very proud one.
As Governor Mirabeau and I rode towards home, we saw the Red Shadow standing with his men at the edge of the desert. And as we halted our horses, we could hear their voices quite plainly.
We have no choice but to follow the law of our tribe, my master. You have refused to fight, so you must be sent into the desert alone, without food, without arms. Your only weapon, this broken sword.
It is the will of Allah.
We turn our backs now to Mecca and pray as you start into the desert. May Allah go with you. And all my love and you. This would be a magic world to me if she were mine.
Governor Mirabeau and I were back at the fortress, worrying about the governor's son, Pierre, who had disappeared at the same time I had been captured. Suddenly, Ali Ben Ali arrived with strange and wonderful news.
General Mirabeau, Mademoiselle Margot, yesterday the man we thought a coward was a man of such dauntless bravery that he had the courage to play the coward.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't understand you.
General Mirabeau, where is your son, Pierre?
That's what I was going to ask you. Margot tells me that yesterday he was in your palace. Or so the Red Shadow told her, but...
Precisely. But no one saw Pierre arrive, and no one saw him go.
What do you mean?
One of my women, Azuri, saw the Red Shadow without his mask yesterday. She recognized him, solved the riddle for me, and I am endeavoring to solve it for you. Will a son kill his father?
Will a son? No.
No!
Pierre is the Red Shadow.
Exactly, mademoiselle. Pierre, the Red Shadow.
My son. Oh, my son.
The Red Shadow is dead!
Listen!
They've killed him. They've killed my son.
The Red Shadow is dust from the desert.
Who is responsible? Which of my soldiers?
I killed him.
Father?
Pierre.
I'm the man who put an end to the Red Shadow.
Hey,
you see, Father, you never thought I was brave.
My son, you were bravest at that moment when you refused to fight.
Father, how did you find out?
Does it matter now? Then you've done your work. Back to the square. And double rations of food and wine for all of you. Dismiss! Pierre, as governor of this post, all I know and all I want to know is that the Red Shadow is no more.
Then you forgive me.
You have done nothing wrong, my boy. And you seem to understand these people better than I do. Perhaps if we can work together, there'll be no further need of a Rip Robin Hood.
Thank you, my father. Thank you. Margot, I don't know how you feel about me now, but I've been in love with you since the first hour I saw you.
Oh, darling. Now I know why I couldn't decide between Pierre and the Red Shadow. For I needed and loved both of them.
This would be a magic world for me.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Mimi Benzel will be back in just a moment. And meanwhile, a word of thanks to our excellent supporting cast, Francis X. Bushman, Paul Fries, and our entire company. Desert Song, with music by Sigmund Romberg and book and lyrics by Otto Harbach, Oscar Hammerstein II, and Frank Mandel, was adapted for radio by Gene Holloway. And now, here again is lovely Mimi Benzel.
Gordon, you'd better watch out playing those double roles. Betty Davis and Olivia de Havilland will get jealous.
Why, Mimi, they let me do everything on the show train, you know. I throttle the engine, sweep out the caboose.
Well, what's on your show train next week, Gordon?
Well, I got to buckle my sword right back on, Mimi. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a wonderful show by Rudolph Firmel called The Three Musketeers.
Oh.
And Dorothy Warren's show will join us as we swashbuckle all over the place.
Well, I'll be listening, D'Artagnan. Good night, Gordon.
Good night, Mimi. You were wonderful.
All aboard.
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out, and so until next Monday night, this is your friend Gordon MacRae saying goodbye.
The Desert Song was presented by arrangement with the Tams Whitmark Music Library. Gordon MacRae can be seen in Warner Brothers' Starlin. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. Now keep tuned for your Monday night of music on NBC.
Hear the voice of Firestone with Dorothy Warrenschold on NBC.